G'day, mate. That's hello from Australia.
You're listening to Christian Travelers Network, the podcast and platform where travel stories, community, and scripture combine.
Hey, Christian travelers, I'm so glad that you are here. We are currently in a series where we are going alphabetically through all of the places in the world. And today we get to talk about the wonderful country of Australia. But before we dive into that, I want to once again point you to our subscribe button. Whether you are listening on a podcast or watching this episode on YouTube, by hitting that subscribe, you guarantee that you get to hear next week's episode as well as we continue through the different countries, and you encourage others to learn more about God's handiwork, whether it's in landscapes, cultures, or just general architecture as we explore the many beauties of this world. But without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into Australia. Normally I kind of say, if you don't know where it's at, but honestly, I would be a little surprised if you didn't know where it's at. And maybe that's because I have been blessed to visit Australia. So I do indeed know where it is located in the Southern Hemisphere. It is a large mass of land full of tundras, grasslands, temperate forests, deserts, and its temperature ranges from 32 degrees Fahrenheit in June and August to about 95 degrees in December to February, making the best time to visit somewhere between September to November or March to May. Now, when it comes to visiting this wonderful land down under, there are so many unique things that I definitely recommend visiting, but I have five that I want to share with you. Now, the first might seem a little obvious. It's the Sydney Opera House, a performing arts center based in Sydney. And its design is unique. Its architecture is really something special. Well, when I was in Australia, I learned that this unique architecture was drawn in crayon. They had a whole competition where architects drew in all kinds of designs, but the artists who have submit the renowned work actually submitted their art in crayon. The next place that I recommend visiting is the Kimberley. By cruising the Kimberley, usually the best time being May and April, you get to see some of the remote areas of Australia, waterfalls, white beaches, and some of the beautiful rocks and landscapes. If you're also looking for other ways to kind of see those hidden back areas of Australia, I would recommend visiting the Red Center. This extraordinary landscape of desert plains, weathered mountain ranges, and rocky gorges are some of the Aboriginal Australians' most sacred sites. While they'll welcome you there and share a little bit about their history, I encourage you to still be respectful while touring some of these sites. Another place to definitely check out while in Australia is the Great Barrier Reef. Whether you're going scuba diving or snorkeling, it's just a beautiful view to see, and I really enjoyed it as well. Some of those breathtaking views of the ocean, a whole other world that we don't get to see every day, and getting to see the sea creatures and the coral life is really something special. But still, again, be respectful of the ecosystem. And then another one of my favorite places was Fraser Island. This is a unique island with 63 different ecosystems. While we were there, we saw desert areas, jungles, got rained on while walking along the beach. There's a really unique shipwreck there. And they have a freshwater lake, which is really a beautiful view. You can swim out and still see all the way to the dark depth bottoms, and the sand is super fine, so if you rub it on your skin, it supposedly gets rid of your acne. So definitely a unique and relaxing way to spend your time in Australia. Now, if you are looking for a way to connect with other Christian travelers while exploring Australia, I have a unique opportunity for you. By visiting christiantravelers.net, you can check out some of the unique resources that we have put together. Not only do we have directories and itineraries and budget sheets and other things that can help enhance your travels, including also devotions and blogs to help you reflect on God's role in your travels, but we also are trying to bring together Christians from around the world as they travel and explore God's creation to get to share those God moments with each other. Whether it's in trips that they go on together or whether it's more communities and meetups, whether local or virtual, and it's going to be an ever-growing community. And whatever it is that you truly enjoy, this is a community space to share those God moments with each other and remember that God is still at work in and around us. But now let's take a moment and step back into Australia. If you are traveling, whether solo or with this amazing community, it's important to understand a little bit about the religious and historical impacts of Australia. Australia used to be one of the British colonies, and many prisoners and other people were dumped here. So it's been a kind of unique and isolating place at times, but obviously they are their own country now. And the religious makeup is approximately 43.9% Christian, 3.2% Muslim, 2.7% Hindu, 2.4% Buddhist, 0.8% Sikh, 0.unknown% Jews, 7.3% New Age, and 38.9% have no religious affiliation. Now, in every single episode, I talk a little bit about this, not just to draw your attention to the Christian numbers or whether it's a great Christian country to go there. I draw your attention to it because understanding what we're walking into helps us prepare our hearts to travel there. And while we might be going to Australia on vacation, it's also an opportunity to be a witness to the Lord. And so I want to draw our attention to this 38.9% with no religious affiliation. Now, I can't speak to the Australians who fall into this category. They might be skeptics, they might be people who are strongly opposed to Christianity, have been hurt by religious affiliation, and oftentimes the way that gets expressed, at least in my own experience, is an attack on Christianity, and it can feel hard to walk into a social situation and feel attacked. But let's flip that thought around. If we walk into a social situation with someone who is an unbeliever or a skeptic and we start attacking them, already have our defenses raised, what message does that really send? Not only that, if we go in and we are attacking a person verbally or with criticism, we are instantly putting up this wall and saying that they are the one at fault, when really they're in the middle of a spiritual warfare that they don't even really understand. They likely think that their understanding of the world is based on very sound logic. But if you're going into these conversations, I encourage you to be open-hearted, to be prayerful, to be willing to ask questions and genuinely mean it, and to be willing to let your barrier down, let the criticisms come out from this person, and begin to point out that God's law shows us that we're all sinful, that we all have sinful logic. Even as Christians trying to live out our faith are broken and sinful people, just like these people who don't know God's love or are in some weird space because of their own history and past, are in the middle of a spiritual warfare, and that sin is causing them to be further separated from God. So first, pointing out law and how we are all broken, but then how that law brings us to the need for a savior. Now, I'm not saying you're going to go converting everyone, and I'm not saying that that is the intention of your vacation. But I am saying that in your travels, if the opportunity comes up, having some general knowledge of how to start that conversation, being open to it, and acknowledging that Jesus loves all of humanity, and that Satan is at work, that there is spiritual warfare, and that is the true enemy in that conversation, not the person, helps us start off a conversation on better footing. Now, I hope that you've learned a few things, but this isn't all that there is to Australia. And that's why I have some amazing people here to share a little bit about their own insight into Australia as well.
Hi, everyone. My name's Esther, and today I will be introducing Australia to you. So the first thing to know about me is that actually I'm not from Australia. I am currently here, but I am from New Zealand, and I've been here a number of years, so I do feel a little bit qualified to share this amazing country with you. I'm also a Christian. I believe that God made the earth, He made us, He saves us from our sins through Jesus to live a full life with Him, and that includes enjoying His creation and exploring as well. So that's why I'm really passionate about exploring the connection between faith and travel, and exploring the connection between faith and everything else that we do, work, our relationships, our friendships, our leisure time, that kind of thing. So yeah, as I said, I've been in Australia for a number of years. I work as a veterinarian, treating animals big and small. And I came here for some experience after working in New Zealand and doing some international travel. And that experience was really good, and so I'm still here. So it might not be my forever home, but I am loving it right now. I've also done a lot of local and interstate travel. It's a super varied country. That's one thing I know that after being in New Zealand for so long. It has beautiful beaches, just like the ones on the postcards that you see, but also desert landscapes. It's very tropical. Up in the northern states, you can feel like you're in parts of Asia in some places. And in the south, you can feel like you're in New Zealand with the mountains, the colder weather, and the rugged coastline. So it's definitely a place worth considering exploring. And I'm going to give you some tips that might help with that. So Australians or Aussies can be hard to understand at times. One, because sometimes their accent, which I, for one, definitely won't be sporting the typical Australian accent. Their accent can be a little bit hard to pick up on. They tend to sort of extend certain vowels like mate or bingo and make it rather harsh on the ears, in my opinion. But they also tend to mumble, so not really enunciate their words very well. And on top of that, they can speak quite fast if they get excited. So sometimes they're hard to understand. And on top of that, they will throw in a lot of slang. So there's a few, I guess, rules or things to listen out for. One is that Australians always like to shorten things and add an O onto the end. So when I first got here, someone directed me to the servo, and I had to look at them twice and realized that they meant the service station, but they shortened it just to the servo. So the service station, petrol station, gas station, is now being shortened to a five-letter word. Stevo will be like a shortened version or a nickname for Stephen. Philo is often a shortened version of Filipino. Lebo will be Lebanese. And me and my friends were talking about Catho the other day in terms of like Catholic. I don't actually know if that's an official slang, but we've been rolling with that. They like to say mate a lot. They use Sheila sometimes, which means a lass or a girl or a woman. It's not necessarily a derogatory term. They'll often use bloke for a man. And I've actually got this Australian Bible, well, parts of the Bible that have been translated a little bit into Aussie language. And I thought I would just read you a section of it because it will maybe give you a bit of an insight. So this is Proverbs 23, verse 29 to 35. Don't expect you to have that memorized, but it's entitled Lose the Booze. And it says, who's always in the hot water? Who's always down in the dumps? Who's always aggro? Who's always whinging? Who's always in the wars? And who's always got bloodshot eyes? Blokes who spend all day at the pub sucking down the grog, that's who. They like nothing better than a schooner of the amber fluid with a rum chaser. With them, the grog goes down faster than the bride's nighty. But in the end, the stuff bites like a redback. Before long, they're seeing things, and they're as mixed up as a muddle-headed wombat. So, if you didn't understand all of that, it's not the Bible's fault. Could be all that Aussie slang in there. So, for the most part, still very understandable, especially if people know that you're from overseas. In terms of the culture or the vibe, I mean, I guess the typical Australian guy might be pictured as a very laid-back kind of surfer dude with board shorts and sunnies, long hair and thongs, which are flip-flops or, you know, those sandals with the one bit that goes in between your big toe and the rest of your toes. In New Zealand, we call them jandals, which I also think is not a very common term. Here they call them thongs. That's probably more of a Queensland-style look because it's more hot up there. And I've got all those beautiful beaches to go surfing on all year round. In Victoria, where Melbourne is located, the typical guy, bloke, might be the footy fan. The football fan wrapped up in the beanie and a scarf in their team's colours going to watch the game in the middle of the winter. Footy is the Australian version of football. It's kind of... And I'm not a footy fan, nor an expert, but it's sort of a rugby-shaped ball that is passed between players with their hands and sometimes their feet. They play in an oval rather than like a square or rectangular pitch. And the players wear singlets, very short shorts, and often a mullet for style. So if you're ever in Victoria, then you must go and see a footy game, especially if it's in the wintertime. If you have limited time in the country, it's a very big country, probably bigger than you may imagine. I would say fly the different places, don't drive, because you'll spend most of the time just driving for hundreds of kilometres, not seeing very much at all, apart from maybe some roadkill with all the native animals. I'd say pick a couple of more remote places to visit, as well as cities. Maybe just visit one or two big cities, maybe even one, and just head out to the remote places. We call them the outback, and sometimes if it's super, super remote, it's like the sticks in terms of slang. If you're looking for something super traditional to eat, I can't think of anything really traditional off the top of my head, but there's definitely kangaroo meat to try, which is pretty readily available in supermarkets or maybe at the local pub or different restaurants, so that can be a bit of an experience. It's very, very multicultural, especially in the cities, and Melbourne is known for its coffee. It's coffee culture. And one thing you may not know is that it can also be combined with social enterprise. So there are a number of cafes around which are social enterprises. So they help either the refugees or the underprivileged or troubled teens. And it's worth maybe checking those out because it's a very nice thing to be supporting, as well as sampling some of the coffee that is Melbourne is well known for. We also have a lot of Vietnamese migrants here, and there's a huge Vietnamese culture, which is super great. They've brought all their food over. In Melbourne, one of the western suburbs is Footscray, and it's known for its Vietnamese food and its markets. In my humble opinion, and it may be because I do live out this way a little bit, Footscray is a little bit more commercialised now, just being a little bit more closer to the city. And I would say that Sunshine, or maybe even St Albans, which are the next two suburbs over from Footscray, have even more authentic Vietnamese food and house even more more of that culture. So if you're ever in Melbourne and wanting some good Viet Phở or a banh mi, come to Sunshine, come to St Albans, and maybe bypass Footscray. Phillip Island is on the eastern side of Melbourne. It's actually just outside of Melbourne. It's known for its penguins. But if you are not willing or don't have enough time to travel all the way to Phillip Island, there are actually penguins that you can see for free even at St Kilda. St Kilda is just one of the inner suburbs of Melbourne. It's by the beach. There's a pier along there, quite a long one, and there's often penguins just hiding along there, which you can see. So that's a little secret that you might want to pocket when you're in the city. little punt for my group. I organize a group called Christian Backpackers. That's originally how I met Sarah and all the great work that she does in Christian Travelers Network. We're a group that meets once a month for social activities around the city. So we might go to a footy match, or we might go to the beach for a picnic during summertime, or if there's some celebrations in the city for a cultural festival, we might meet and enjoy those. And all of them are just to create connections between travellers and locals, particularly Christian travellers or travellers who may have an interest in Christianity or in faith in general, and local Christians and local people who may, again, have an interest in faith or an interest in travel. So we've been able to facilitate those for the last 6 years. We also do some online Bible studies as well once a month, which got started during COVID and just never stopped. Bible studies always a good thing. So if you're around, especially in Melbourne, would love to hear from you. Sarah will definitely put up some links. You can find us on the Meetup app. That's a very good app to get on your phone if you're in the city, if you're in Australia and wanting to do some social things. It's called Meetup, Meetup, all as one word, or on Facebook as Christian Backpackers Meetup Melbourne. And to finish, I'm going to leave you with a story. It was one of the special moments I had when I was hiking with one of my good friends. Really brought together, I guess, travel and faith in a way that I wish happened more. It was a couple of years ago. Me and my friend, we did about 50-kilometer round trip hike with our backpacks and our tents and everything like that. It was 3 days, 2 nights. We walked from our car to the coast, stayed 2 nights in a beach campsite, which is pretty remote, no toilets. A few other campers there, but not a lot. Hiked back the next day, and we just had some really awesome times and really awesome weather, swims in the beach, in the rivers, that kind of thing. My friend's not a believer, but she's really open, and was asking many questions. It was also just after the COVID lockdowns had lifted, so both of us, and maybe the whole of Melbourne, because we were the most locked down city in the world at that stage, we had a lot to process and a lot to kind of discuss and talk about and sort of catch up on. And I was sharing, a bit about my faith, from young and through the recent situations. She also shared some of her spiritual experiences growing up, including some Christian experiences. And we always just discuss, really deep kind of things that we may not have done on the soccer pitch. We're soccer buddies. A cafe or a pub or just in general, sort of everyday kind of friendships. I also have a book that has liturgies to be read in different situations, including ones to be read around the bonfire. We didn't have a bonfire, but if we had a bonfire, there would have been one to read for that, for sunsets and sunrises and when being at the ocean and being in a tent. And we're able to read some of those as well. I had them on my phone and she really enjoyed that. I enjoyed it too, but she enjoyed it and just really gave her a lot to think about and consider in terms of her life and her spiritual journey, even though it may be just getting started. So hopefully that encourages you and inspires you to keep traveling. Keep making those connections, and maybe even come over to Australia one day. Thanks for listening and see you later.
Thank you so much for sharing a little bit about your insight into Australia and your own experience. We really appreciate your insight and I encourage you, Christian travelers, to go connect with them as well. And if you're looking for more travel guides, itineraries, and other resources related to Christian travel, I encourage you to head to our website, christiantravelers.net. All itineraries and travel guides are available to our members, but there are other free resources available for you too. So until next time, safe travels and God bless.